Welcome to Finances And, Choosing an Advisor with Kathy Pfefferhahn. Finances And, in conjunction with my company, Capital Coaching, helps people achieve their financial goals through personal, tailored, and attentive financial coaching services. Together, we will create a successful financial plan by examining your spending and saving habits, then guiding and educating you to your own personal success. But you can also be a do-it-yourselfer and order my book, Finances And, Your Spending Planner Workbook. It includes budgeting pages for each month, expense trackers, investment and assessment tracking, debt management, setting financial goals, and more. To order your own copy, you can click the link in the show notes. I go over the book in episode 136, Your Spending Planner Workbook. Hiring a financial advisor can offer a multitude of benefits that extends beyond one's financial understanding. First and foremost, a skilled financial advisor provides expert guidance tailored to an individual's unique circumstances and goals. They should possess a deep understanding of complex financial concepts, investment strategies, tax implications, and retirement planning, which can be overwhelming for the average person to navigate on their own. By analyzing their client's financial situation comprehensively, an advisor can develop a personalized roadmap that aligns with their short-term needs and long-term aspirations, fostering financial security and peace of mind. Additionally, a financial advisor serves as an accountability partner, encouraging individuals to stay on track with their financial objectives. This external support can be particularly valuable during times of uncertainty or market volatility, as the advisor's expertise helps to counter emotional decision-making and impulsive actions. Moreover, financial advisors can help clients optimize their portfolios by diversifying investments and minimizing risk exposure, thus potentially enhancing returns over time. In essence, hiring a financial advisor not only streamlines financial decision-making, but it also empowers individuals to make well-informed choices that pave the way for a more stable and prosperous financial future. But how do you choose the best advisor for you? Every person's needs are different. Do you have kids? Do you want to travel? What do you want to leave for your family? Today, I'm going to go over questions that will help you choose the best advisor for you. But before choosing your advisor, you're going to need to understand these following 10 things. The first question is, how are you going to get paid? There are a few ways that they may collect their fees. They may charge you by the hour, charge a flat fee, or a percentage of your account. They may charge you based on how much you've invested with them, and then they may reduce your fees the more your account grows. So they may charge 1.5% management fees if you have $500,000 with them, and then you'd owe $7,500 a year in fees. But as your money grows, and let's say you get to a balance of $1 million, the interest charge would go down to 1%. So you'd still owe $10,000 in fees, but that's less than if you were paying 1.5%. Frequently, these fees are billed either quarterly or monthly. They may also add a fee if both of you agree to a bonus if they perform to a certain standard, like maybe getting a certain return on the investments. Another way they may charge you is by earning commissions when you buy certain funds or products. They earn a percentage based on how much you've invested, so make sure that you really need that product and that it's in your best interest for your situation in the market, not just because they'll earn a profit. Be careful, because these advisors may not be working in your best interest. Lastly, they may earn a salary if they're working for a firm that has advisors that work for them. The second question to ask is, how are they willing to meet with you? Whether it's virtually or in person, whatever's best for you and what you're looking for. Ask if they're available for calls and what their hours are. Number three, how do they allocate investments? Do they recommend a diversified portfolio that includes a little of these types of investments? Large caps or capital companies that have over $10 billion in total market value, mid caps, which are between $2 and $10 billion in market value, small caps or less than $2 billion, international securities companies that are listed on international exchanges, emerging markets, these are issued by companies in developing nations, fixed income securities, which are highly rated corporate or government bonds that pay a set amount of interest each year, money market investments, which are short-term debt that you purchase, and finally, REITs, real estate investment trusts, where you put your investment into a pool of mortgages or properties, because what you're looking for is a way to minimize risk while maximizing return. The different assets have different risks associated with them, More return comes with taking more risk. Another consideration in investing is asking yourself, how soon do I need the money? If you need it within the next 5 years, you'll probably choose a less risky portfolio than if you have more time. The fourth question is, are you a fiduciary? This means that your advisor will have to act on your, the client's, best interest. They'll do this for all of their clients, but they do it by managing your money and property carefully, working only to make choices that are best for your portfolio. They'll keep you and your heirs in mind, offering products and services that will benefit you. Number five question is, what are your qualifications? You should expect at least a bachelor's degree in finance, marketing, or business, and they'll need to be able to sell securities, which are stocks and bonds, so they'll have to have passed the General Securities Representative license called a Series 7 license. It covers all basic investment knowledge and the regulations around selling them. A Series 63 license, called a Uniform Securities Agent State license, will allow them to sell across many states. And finally, the Series 65 license covers the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and it's for advisors who charge advisory fees. A certified financial planner has to pass the CFP exam to be able to use that designation. They're tested on their ability and aptitude for a comprehensive, holistic approach to financial planning. They really do work for your best interest. You can find out more about CFPs in episode 23 called Certified Financial Planners. Number six asks, what are all of your costs? This question is meant to make sure that there are no hidden fees, that you are made aware of each and every possible charge that they might pass on to you, because fees can eat at your savings and investments without you knowing it. Question seven, do they work within your investment philosophy? The question really seems unnecessary if they're fiduciaries, because they will need to respect your style of investing and follow your guidance, but they should also be able to share with you what options they have. Instead, I would ask, do you provide education? In other words, do they honor that you're still trying to understand how all of this will impact you and be willing to slow down and explain what they're doing? This is actually another great reason to get a certified financial planner, as they create a full document explaining why they're suggesting what they are, options within any class of investing, how this will affect your taxes, what insurance you'll need, and how it will affect your retirement and estate planning. It really is a worthwhile relationship to have. Number eight asks, how do they benchmark their success? They should be able to explain how they're measuring success in all areas of your investments, not with just comparing themselves to the S&P 500. That only measures large cap investments. They should be able to compare how they're doing versus whatever the benchmark, the expected return, with a certain security. For example, if you're investing in international securities, they should have a benchmark that they're trying to beat against international securities. The ninth question is, who's your custodian? This is the company that will be actually holding your money and investments. You'll want to hear that they've hired an independent custodian for all of this. They should be able to tell you how your investments are doing and be able to show you immediately. The custodian needs to be a broker-dealer, a bank, or another qualified custody according to the Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC. The website at sec.gov has a great deal on investor protection and regulating the securities market. It's not an easy read, but it is thorough. And finally, number 10, what are the tax implications of investing with you? Ideally, they're qualified to have your return prepared for you, but they'll need to be able to sit with you and explain how to minimize your tax liability. They should know your financial goals and unique situations. It's okay if they lead you toward a separate tax professional, but you should know before your taxes are due what their advice will mean for you and what you'll owe at that time. I can't emphasize enough that you're going to want both education and a relationship with whomever you're giving your investment money to. You need to understand how all of your assets are working for you and how it's going to affect you and your retirement future. This is Kathy Pfefferhahn. Thanks for listening to Finances and Choosing an Advisor. I know you chose to listen and I'm grateful. If you enjoyed this episode, follow or subscribe for free in your podcast provider and share your favorite episode with a friend. I'd love you to leave a review because it brings financial education to others and helps people find me more easily. You can also let me know what questions you'd like answered or topics covered by going to the website at financesand.net and leaving a message. You can also find Finances And on YouTube as well. Remember, I went to school so you don't have to. Finances Anne does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing in this podcast is construed as such. Always consult a tax, accounting, or legal professional for advice on your specific situation.